This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Good morning. The world has ended. Here's your ESPN Radio 3-day forecast.
The world is ending.
The world ending. There's still 3 days of weather.
Okay.
It starts right now as 43 and cloudy out, getting down to... That's where it goes up. It's getting down to 45. It's 43 right now. The low tonight, 45. That must mean the world's ending.
Yes.
The low is the high and the high is the low. Tomorrow it is 60 and raining. Friday the high is 48 and sunny. There's a chance of snow on Saturday morning with a high of 37.
All hell's breaking loose right now.
But next week again, it looks like mid-60s and sunny. So
you know March is now February and February is now March. Did you know that?
I did not know we officially made that transition.
There's going to be a news mentioned about that anytime. Breaking news.
Anyways, right now it is 43 and cloudy. Mm. And speaking of breaking news.
Yeah, yeah. Do I play the intro or just the breaking
news? Whatever you want.
Let's get to the intro first.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
Okay. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise in studio. Alec Busty is here. Trevor? Derek?
Don't talk to me.
This does not affect me.
That's your start. That's this, the first thing you have to say is this does not affect
me. Not affect me. I had no plans of going to an NCAA tournament game, but guess what? If you did, you're not.
Thank you.
What has happened? What has happened in the last hour of my life?
So the NCAA has announced that no fans will be present at NCAA tournament games for men's and women's tournament here coming up. Only essential staff and family members will be allowed in. It has since been released that they're still deciding on whether to let in media outside of the television broadcast itself. So we are accepting all your prayers right now.
I mean, Derek, if they're not going to let fans in, I can't imagine. They're already taking precautions with media. Like at the Big Ten tournament, you can't go into the locker room, correct? Which was the only time.
Today, yep.
That was the only time when I worked in TV that I could go into a locker room, ironically, was at the major event of an NCAA tournament. I could not go into the locker room at the University of Illinois. Everything was done in a press conference setting, and now that is now the only way. If it continues, that's the only way you're going to be able to talk to Brad Underwood and the players.
That's
is
fine.
You're in a room, and it's going to be you and seat A. It's going to or no, seat one. Jeremy Warner and seat nine. You know, Bob Osmussen and seat, or no, it'd be Scott Ritchie, right?
See, but then as soon as you clear your throat, you're being escorted out by guys in these moon suits.
I mean, you guys are going to have to sit 8 feet apart.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
That's fine, yeah, right?
If you're not in the locker room, I understand that. And once again, I'm not having any blowback against this decision. I'm still learning what the severity of this
Right.
This disease is, but
I'm
jarring.
It is jarring. And I'm going to say this, and I told Trevor this. I have not taken this serious yet. And that doesn't mean that in a month from now, I'll be sitting here going, wow, did I really underreact to something? I feel like the world is overreacting to this. However, there's people that know about this a lot more than I do that are overreacting to this, and I should take the cue and do that. But it is something that is just becoming a major thing. Kara works in the hotel industry, and it is destroying the hotel industry. It's destroying the flight industry. I looked at a flight today to Phoenix from St. Louis in April on Easter weekend, $99. normally that's 200.
Right.
So you're going to start seeing the trickle down. And the trickle down is the thing that, like Dayton announced, you know, off the bat, they announced nobody's coming to the Dayton first-round tournaments, you know, first-round games. Now the NCAA follows suit and says nobody, there's no fans there. So guess what the trickle-down is? There's no ushers that get that depend on that. There's no beer vendor. There's no Coke vendor. There's no peanuts vendor that relies on that money to live. So the trickle-down effect of this is really, this is becoming and will be maybe larger than 9/11. When it's said and done, the only thing we don't understand, and I think it's just automatic that this is the case, is not a terrorist act coming out of China here, but when you think and think of the global impact, or even in the United States now, how does a venue, let's say you're Greensboro and you're hosting the first 4 days of a tournament or two of the days, how does that venue make money now? Do you eat the tickets? Or do you, I mean, in other words, do you
have to refund the tickets?
You have to, right?
Yeah. And I know that I was listening to the radio on the way over, and they mentioned, was it Southwest has already said in the fine print, no refunds on the flights?
No refunds. Now, Southwest will allow you, I think, a year to use that.
For a different.
Okay. Because that happened to my mom and I on Thanksgiving. She ended up having to fly to Florida when I was going out to Arizona. We were both going. And the rule was she's got 1 year. It was like 9 months to use that ticket.
Sure.
But you're right. I mean, this is getting to the point where if you did have a ticket, let's say you're an Illinois fan and you said, you know what, I'm going to take the chance. They're going to play in St. Louis. So you've already purchased a ticket to that down there. And then all of a sudden now you can't get into the tournament in St. Louis. Do you get your money back? And if you're St. Louis now, are you one of those saying, why did we want to host the first two rounds or the first, you know, yeah,
well, this is one of the largest sporting events in the world.
Big time.
Or at least in the country every year.
Yeah.
This is the premier basketball event, right?
At least the pairings haven't come out and said Illinois is going to St. Louis and all the tickets have been bought up by Illini fans. Where fans are still waiting and seeing where they would potentially go. And I understand from a NCAA perspective, if putting all these fans through an airport, mostly, to go fill an arena puts the student athletes in jeopardy of getting that, then I understand.
But there's so many follow-up questions.
Well,
what if a random assistant coach on one team suddenly has it?
Right.
Do you then shut down the tournament completely
and not play? Honestly, Derek, I don't think they're not doing this to protect, I don't think, the student athlete. They're doing this so that the spread doesn't happen.
Well, right. Absolutely.
Right?
This is such a massive decision that the trickle effect, like you said, it set such a precedent that, like, I don't even understand how the Big Ten tournament can go.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know they're filing in right now, and it starts in an hour. It might be too late to make a decision for today's games. But I guess what I mean is the NCAA is such a large operation
that
if they're making that decision, think about every conference tournament, every smaller thing, every IHSA playoff. Like, how can any of those go on if this is not going to go on?
Yeah, I'm sitting here by Friday when Illinois is slated to play. There seems like a good chance that there'll be an announcement that says no fans. And then again, you wonder about media. That's just me thinking selfishly. But,
no, but you
wonder
you
who's
do.
In the building at Bankers Life when Illinois plays potentially Iowa or Minnesota on Friday night.
You
or
do
Friday
think,
afternoon.
You do think selfishly, and you should. I mean, number one is, how does it affect me? How does this affect my life? And that's how I started the show. I'm like, this does not affect me. I had no plans of going to an NCAA tournament game. But it's affecting thousands of people. And not only that, it's now affecting the finance of this country, which is then going to blow back in some resort to where it's going to personally affect you on a financial level. Because if everybody's losing jobs, then something's got to be done. I mean, this is of epic proportion.
Now, I will say that the TV ratings will probably never be higher.
Well, that's a good point.
Because if no one's at the game, everybody has to watch the game.
Good point.
So there's probably more money to be made in terms of commercial revenue.
Yep.
But in terms of actual stadium revenue, there's going to be none.
It's a pandemic now, and that was announced by the World Health Organization, WHO. They announced that it's a pandemic. At 4:30, Julie Pride, director of Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, is going to join us and answer some questions that we have. Now, we are going to tailor our questions more of a sports, in that sports geography area or whatever, if you will. But obviously, she's going to be able to answer a lot of questions about this. But, you know, you said it, one of you guys said it, like with the IHSA. Does, you know, like the boys are just now starting to get into eight teams or whatever punch their ticket to state. Can you imagine now if today at school they said, guess what? So I think Breeze is a team that made it to state for the first time. No, it was Sacred Heart Griffin.
Well, I just don't understand how the smaller events can go on if the biggest right. event in the world is saying that it's too dangerous.
It was weird. I was at that basketball thing last weekend, or this last weekend, and I'm sitting there on Saturday watching 150 kids do skills competition, and in between each shooting event or dribbling event, I'm grabbing basketballs, putting them in a bucket, so I just grabbed whatever they had. Mm-hmm. And there's fans everywhere. And at the end of the shooting contest, there were maybe three fans in the gym. There were two parents for one kid and one parent for another. And I looked at the one dad sitting there, and I'm like, hey, this is like a coronavirus event. Like, nobody's in the gym. And he kind of laughed, and I'm like, that's how weird it's going to feel. I mean, I was joking, but that's how weird it's going to feel at these NCAA tournament games. And you guys probably didn't have a chance. I would love to talk to Brad Underwood right now or one of these players and say, have you ever played in a gym empty? No. And what is that going to be like?
We asked him today. Secret scrimmage.
You did ask him today. Okay.
I'll give Brett Behrens asked both Brad and Io what it would be like. And Brad essentially brushed, he joked and said, well, in the Southland Conference, there's a couple of schools that don't draw very well. So we have played in empty gyms before. And I was like, it'd be like an open gym.
Yeah.
And love the fans, but we got a job to do, essentially. Yep. We would have to go out and win a game.
Yep.
But you could tell by Brad's reaction that he didn't think that was really even a real possibility that, okay, you know, the Ivy League's canceled. Oh, yeah, yeah. But this is the NCAA tournament. You can't touch the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Right. That's what's just unfathomable right now.
And the other thing I told Andrew, who called me on the way in and said, did you just hear the news? I'm like, I heard it. The thing I said is, well, if you give me a choice of A, no fans in the seats during the NCAA tournament, or B, we're canceling the NCAA tournament, we'd all rather have B, right?
Yes. Right, but I'm saying like Spokane is a regional right now. And Spokane is one of the few places that already has. I mean, we're not even talking about an abundance of caution there. That is one of the places where there's been sort of an outbreak of people that have this.
So do you change venues?
What I mean, Houston just announced today they're not going to have any public events for the next month. I don't know what that means, but there's a regional in Houston.
Yeah.
Do you relocate regionals to smaller towns that are more centrally located that haven't had cases like here? I mean, I'm just being
I know what you're saying.
Out, but
you look at the Northeast too.
Yeah,
Albany is a site for the first two rounds, and the Ivy League just said they're not having any athletic events. Period. From now until the end of the academic calendar, so baseball season, it's done.
Done.
They were the first people to come out and cancel the conference tournament. So
I guess they are smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. What do you do if you're Major League Baseball? What do you do if you're St. Louis opening day, 48,000 people?
The Mets are not going to start at home, and the Mariners also not going to start at home. They already announced that.
Because of this.
Yep.
Because there's a town in New York, New Rochelle, that I think the National Guard has surrounded the town and essentially is saying nobody leaves, nobody goes in. And that's what they're saying about travel, that, hey, Lon, if you want to go to Tempe, have at it, buddy. But there's a chance that when you get out there, they may say, you're here for 6 weeks. Well, I'm going to Hawaii then.
Well, I was joking that the best time to be quarantined is during March Madness, if you have to be. It's just going to be such a weird experience.
I told you guys.
Worse places to be stranded than Tempe.
I agree. I totally agree.
Especially if classes are canceled.
I said I was going to send out an email to all of my two offices and say, hey, due to the coronavirus, we're closing the office Thursday and Friday, the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
Well, and Seth Davis did tweet that he's confirmed that broadcast people will be at the events.
Okay.
Because I was confused when they tweeted out, we're trying to decide if media should go or not. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What about cameramen? Like, the game may play, but if there's no one in the stands with a camera to film it, how are we going to know?
And are you going to check
GoPro,
that guy?
Man. GoPro. Strap a GoPro on Io's head like, for the game and just broadcast it.
Frank Kaminsky did that one year at the Big Ten tournament. Are you going to test the cameraman? What if I'm the cameraman and they're like, Lon, we need you to shoot the St. Louis Regional. You're going to be the camera underneath the bucket on the south end. Are they going to say, well, we need to test you. We need to test you before you can go in.
I'd imagine so.
Because there's a good chance somebody shoots a layup, falls into me. Now I've touched him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Well, and a completely different angle that Brad Evans took on this was he's interested to see if they can turn it into a more entertaining event for the viewer. In an FS1 all-access type way.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of if there's no fans and we can hear everything.
All the mics are going to pick up anyway.
Right.
But basically, how can CBS take in this news and then try to turn it into a draw instead of a takeaway in terms of watch this because of this, not in spite of this.
This is a story that has so many legs to it. This is an octopus that has 500 legs. And everybody out there listening to us right now is thinking of another thing. Like, for instance, can you imagine being, have you ever been an announcer that sat in an empty gym and announced a game? Can you imagine?
Right. What if someone hits a buzzer beater? Yeah. Brian Anderson's calling the game. Does he scream?
Calvin Brock.
I think he should.
Calvin Brock. Alan Griffin's at the free throw line. And it's like Alan Griffin at the line for a 1-1 now. He could put Illinois in the lead here with 2 minutes to play. And Alan Griffin's like, shh, hey, dude.
Alan looks over at him like, hush.
Can you quiet down for
it's
a minute?
So weird.
They're going to have to send out video of Nance doing the master. Now, this is how you do it in mid-shot when nobody else is talking. It's
Alan Griffin. The John Gross's team will have a big edge.
Because Gross is so loud.
Well, no, I was going to say because Gross, the Silent Night thing.
Oh, that's right.
Where they don't talk for the first until the first bucket scored, he'll be right at home.
And now sign stealing comes into play.
Yeah. Right, you can't yell
during timeouts. You're going to hear what Brad's screaming in the huddle.
They'll have to mute the buttons during mute the volume during that. Anthony says, "Well, they pipe in crowd noise."
That'd be weird.
That'd be even stranger. It's like a sitcom or whatever when you hear that.
I mean, think about how weird the environment was when they did the Silent Night thing. I'm thinking back to it. Like, that was a weird,
very,
very strange environment.
Very. If the NCAA games are on TV, are they going to supply a laugh track or a fake applause? The NCAA should pay the beer vendors and event staff with all the money they don't pay the athletes. Okay. I mean, the NCAA, does the NCAA lose money on this now?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you have to, right? Yeah. They're going to lose a lot of money. So I don't know.
I think what I'm learning overall is just that you can't rule anything out at this point, right?
You can't.
It feels like each of the last three or four days when we've sat in here, we've said, well, the Ivy League may cancel theirs, but they can't possibly cancel the, well, they can't possibly, nope. And they just keep doing it.
Boys, in 2 weeks, we may not have a radio show for
I mean, honestly, they might, they said the president's going to address the nation tonight at 8 o'clock. Yeah. What if he says everybody has to stay home for 2 days?
Right.
Or something, you know what I mean? I mean, it's a distinct possibility.
So does that mean nurses, doctors stay home? And if you're scheduled for a surgery or, you know, there's just, or is it just all medical?
Right.
All medical professionals you have to report to work, everybody else? I mean, I'm in the insurance business. Nothing is that major that I couldn't stay home a couple of days. And this radio show, we could go 2 days without that.
Although, three of us could call in remotely.
Yeah, we would be the entertainment.
Someone would just have to hit a button.
Who's doctoring their family tree to show they're related to Zach Griffith to get on the team family members
there
list?
You go. That's a great... Derek Piper?
Yes.
I mean, you're tall.
So basically, yeah, sure. The only crowd you're going to get is family. So whoever has the best family wins the tournament,
well,
right?
We've got Io's family.
Right, so we win.
We're in good shape on that one.
I like Derek's tweet about Penn State's going to feel right at home.
No,
because they already tarp up
It was kind of an interesting time when they're showing the journey here in the studio, and it was Illinois versus Penn State. They were showing the highlights, and behind both baskets, there's nobody, and in the top upper bowl, you just see dark.
That's crazy.
Like, there's no stars. Like, there's no roof on the building, but it's a dark curtain that drops down. So I said, get your Penn State futures in right now. They'll be feeling at home when there's empty seats and dark curtains in the, top rows.
This is weird. This is weird.
I'm very interested to see the like you mentioned with the announcer, how loud you get, like the low-key impacts on the games like that. Like if a Florida Gulf Coast is beating a 2, how excited do you get as the announcer? Do they feel that momentum with
That's
no crowd behind them?
Point.
Something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who does this favor?
I mean, I would think it favors teams that are just good, as simple as it sounds, right? Instead of teams that ride momentum waves from crowds and stuff.
My only thought would be, and here's why, because if you get into a region, so let's say you're Illinois and you're a 6.
Regions don't matter anymore because there's no home court advantage.
Well, that's true. That'll shut me up because that's a great point. But how about this? Let's say Illinois is a 6 in St. Louis and Duke's the 3, and Duke starts losing in the second half. Every Illinois fan and every fan from the team playing Duke and the other two teams, whoever Illinois is playing, they're all going to root against Duke just because it's Duke. You know, and you see that a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, how about refs? But,
yeah.
They're not going to get affected by booing.
Interesting.
Not that they're technically affected anyways.
Right.
What if they make a bad call? No one's yelling at them.
Except the coach, and you're going to hear everything said.
It's just really weird. But
to your point, you're no longer, if you're matched up, okay, we're going to Albany to play the 2-seed Villanova. Like, oh, man, they're going to have a huge presence there.
Good call. That home court doesn't make as big of a difference.
It makes no difference.
Like if Illinois were going to St. Louis, you know the majority of people down there would be Illinois fans, especially right. after the drought Illinois's been on to get to the NCAA tournament.
In fact, if home court makes no difference, they may just try to keep teams as close as in proximity to where they are now as possible.
And that's not a bad idea either.
You know what I mean?
So playing Kansas and Omaha, you're no longer worried about them filling it up with Kansas fans, but then again, you're still playing Kansas.
You're still
so
playing
that's
Kansas.
What it still comes down to is you still got to play these teams, but they're who can handle these different unprecedented circumstances.
It's true.
I mean, teams worked hard all year to get some sort of seeding advantage, right?
Yeah.
Now there is no seeding advantage in terms of home court.
No.
If you're a 2 versus a 3, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it matters in terms of who you're playing.
No, I agree.
But it doesn't matter if Kansas gets the best 1 seed and they earned it and so they go to Omaha. It doesn't matter.
They might as well be on the West Coast.
Right.
It's true. And Trevor, to your point, and it makes sense in the first round because you can geographically place teams pretty close to where they're at. For instance, take Illinois as an example. It would be interesting to see if the NCAA said, well, we can have a total of 8 teams, right? Is that right? No, there's a total of 6. No, 8 teams in St. Louis.
Yeah, there's 2 like quads in each.
So we are going to stick Illinois. You just basically think of every team within 4 hours of St.
Louis. Right, you wouldn't make Illinois go to New York when they would have a chance to get more exposed by the travel.
Yeah.
You'd just keep everybody near where they are. But then again, you're kind of then throwing out the seating and just going based on geographical and health, which then basically
it turns into a high school
de-incentivizes
event.
The purpose of this entire season, which was to improve your seating.
I mean, it literally turns into a high school event where you live.
As a team that has a lower seed, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
If I were Kansas fans, I'd be upset right now.
Can you imagine? Who would be in St. Louis's region from around here? Kentucky?
Yeah, potentially Kentucky.
Illinois.
Dayton would go to Cleveland.
Yeah. Right? What Big Ten team would go?
Well, really, any
MSU
of them.
Michigan could
State.
Be.
I mean,
although, again, they could go to
if you took
Cleveland.
Teams 4 hours from St. Louis and you put them all there. Or, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You can call me, Sal said, mass hysteria. I don't know. It's something that I've never been through. So it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. But
you tell me, I covered 12 and 21 last year. Don't get me wrong. This has been a fun year to cover. But then don't get to cover a tournament?
I just touched
one?
My face,
one
too.
Year?
Yeah.
Just one?
I've touched my face like a million times either.
I never realized how much I touched my face until last week.
Yeah.
All right, Julie Pride, Director of Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, really appreciate this. Last-minute notice. Julie's going to join us when we come back to talk about the coronavirus. Are we overreacting? Are we taking
Apparently
it
not.
Serious enough? I guess not. We're at some point going to hear from player and coach audio today, Brad Underwood, Io, and Kofi. And then Dylan Meyer, former Illini golfer. How's it going to affect the PGA? Are they going to have the Masters with nobody there?
But that's quiet anyways.
It's pretty quiet. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, golfers are used to going out and playing golf rounds by themselves, I guess. But so are basketball guys are used to going over to the gym and shooting by themselves. So we will talk to Dylan Meyer at 5:10. Kind of catch up with Dylan. What's he up to now? How close is he to the PGA? We will talk to Dylan at 5:10. Again, Julie Pride, Director of Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, joining us next to talk more about the coronavirus and how it's basically shutting down the sports world right now. Golden State announced no fans at the Warriors game. So, and didn't LeBron say he's not playing if that's the case?
He originally said that.
Okay.
And Trevor said he came back and said he would do whatever.
He walked it back after a long visit with the league. He's decided to play. We'll talk to Julie next. It is The Drive.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a train. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Hawkeye fans, it's March, and it's time for brackets. Join Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, and myself at Pia's in Champaign to enter our bracket pool. Bring your hard copy bracket or pick one up at Pia's anytime from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday, March 16th, and enter for a chance to win a first-place prize of $1,000, second-place prize of a Yeti cooler, and third-place, a Coors cooler. Make plans to go to Pia's in Champaign on Monday, March 16th to enter our pool.
No purchase necessary. Paper brackets only. One entry per person.
Illini Nation, your Illini men's basketball team is marching to the postseason and are looking to finish the season strong. So get geared up to cheer them on at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini Game Day Spirit. From their famous House of Pain design to basketball jerseys and everything in between, Game Day Spirit has something for every Illini fan this basketball season. Find them in Campus Town at the corner of 6th and Green or in Champaign off Neal and Kirby and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com.
Hi, this is Mary Jurison, the office manager at CU Under Construction and CU Trade Services. When I started here 8 years ago, I was excited to work with such passionate owners. Little did I know how much that would inspire my passion into remodeling and building. At CU Under Construction and CU Trade Services, I know how much we care about your home. My team of ladies and our amazing crews are here for any of your home needs. Check out our website at CUUnderConstruction.com and TheCUServices.com. The next time you have a home project or any type of service need, call us and see how we are building better together.
Heads up, listeners, we've got a new website. Introducing the all-new StevieJ.com, your one-stop shop for podcasts, advertising info, staff bios, Stever links, community calendars, and more. If you're a regular visitor to any of our station sites, be sure to visit the new StevieJay.com. Each station has their own tab chock full of show information. So again, if you're looking for ESPNCU, Q96, US1059, or Christian FM 95.3, you can now find them all under one roof at the new StevieJay.com.
Oh no, it's here, and I'm so not ready. I'm already freezing.
That's right, winter is now here. So be prepared and call ABC Heating and Air. Their goal is for you to always be comfortable. Protect your investment with a heating system tune-up from ABC Heating and Air, and stay warm this winter. Go to abcheatingandac.com or call 352-5400. That's 352-5400.
Hi, welcome to Honda BMW of Champaign.
Hi, I've got all sorts of car problems.
Okay, we'd be happy to help you out. What's the issue?
First off, I think I need a new car. Mine is really old.
We've got a large selection of new Hondas on our lot.
Great, and then my wife needs one too, but I don't think we have the budget for two new cars.
Our finance department will help you pick the best option for your needs.
Wow, you answered all my questions.
That's what we're here for. Sir?
Finally, peace of mind.
Honda BMW of Champaign. Their staff is committed to giving you peace of mind. Stop by today at the corner of Neal and Brewwash in Savoy.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
ESPN Radio 93.5, Lonte, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, Julie Pride, Director of Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, going to join us in a couple of minutes, 2 to 3, 5 minutes, right in there. So
you guys are burying the lead.
Actually, 4:45 is when Julie, thank you, Brent,
that's not that kid's name.
I didn't even take his last name and his first name. I don't know. Thank you.
You guys are bearing the lead, though.
Mr. Bussey. What's
what
that?
What is it? Brett Cecil left today's game in the sixth inning with a right hamstring injury.
Sure. Did you see my tweet?
No.
I saw the news from Benjamin Hockman, who writes for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I just put a series of ha's. I was like, ha! That guy. Let me ask you this, Derek.
I wish you wouldn't.
On the same team, Brett Cecil, who has not done anything since year one and really did nothing in year one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Dexter Fowler, who, by the way,
I wanted to bring that up.
Hitting 069 now in spring training.
Come on, man.
Those two guys are on this baseball team and account for about $100 million. Their total payrolls. Like, Dexter was 80-something? Over $100 million. Cecil was like 4 years for 40 or something. I'm not a fire Mo guy, never have been. I think John Mozeliak has done a pretty nice job with the St. Louis Cardinals. I appreciate what he's done to get the Cardinals a couple of World Series trophies that I've enjoyed as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a fire mo guy, but I asked my buddy today, the fact that those two things happened in the same time frame, is that not enough to get rid of a general manager? The fact that he signed Dexter Fowler
But wasn't Dexter Fowler seen as like, thank you, finally, yes. Our lead on, he was exactly what you wanted, right?
He was.
And it was just, we were clamoring for it the year before.
Yep. You needed a center
fielder. Before he went back to the Chicago for one more year and won the title, right?
Won the title.
He had a home run in game 7. Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah. I agree. And Brett Cecil's a guy that you wanted.
He was. And now I'm worried about big contract lefties because Andrew Miller's not even throwing.
Yeah, I know. And Goldschmidt's got a hurt elbow.
Right.
Welcome to St. Louis Cardinals baseball.
Listen, everybody has bad contracts, it seems like.
We go through
the Cubs list as well, but the Fowler one is brutal. He's hitting 0-69 now. He's 2-for-29. He struck out in his first two appearances today, went 0-for-3. He struck out 12 times in 29 at-bats. Mm. And then also the problem is Mo sat there this offseason and said, we're good.
Yeah. Everything's
good. We're good in the outfield.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not a guy that overreacts to spring training at all.
But when you just set the league record for the worst batting average ever 2 years ago,
right,
and then you start 0.069,
yep,
there's fair reason to react.
My overreaction is that I have personally watched on TV Dexter Fowler, I think, 7 times bat. One time he had a line drive to the first baseman that was caught. The other 6 times were either strikeouts or like little pop-ups to the shortstop. No power generated. I'm not even whining and crying as a Cardinal fan. He hurts the Cardinals more than he helps the Cardinals.
Absolutely. And yet he was
guaranteed a spot.
He was super, I don't know, he was okay last year, but even okay was what, 230?
Yeah.
240? And wasn't anything worth what he's being paid. What's really hard, and I saw this about a month ago, Tommy Pham, who we just
gave up
to the Rays, now he's on the Padres, in the last 3 or 4 years, he has the 7th highest WAR of any hitter.
Wow.
It's just like the same as Bryce Harper.
Yep. Randall Grichuk, wouldn't you rather have him than Fowler?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Steven Piscotty, you understood that.
Yep.
It's crazy. I mean, tell me you wouldn't rather have an outfield of Lane Thomas, Dylan Carlson, and Harrison Bader as opposed to, or Tyler O'Neill.
He's still striking out a lot.
Just give me Lane Thomas, Dylan Carlson, and Harrison Bader. Bader's hitting 295. Hold on.
It's not quite as big.
Okay, breaking coronavirus/sporting event effect news.
Michigan has announced no fans at any spring sporting events, spring football canceled, and then other minor spring sports canceled. Baseball will be the only one that continues, but with no fans.
Okay, Alec, you're still in school, you and Trevor. Are you guys still going to classes?
As of now.
You are, okay.
Illinois is one of 3 Big Ten universities that has not...
Okay, I didn't know that.
Transitioned their classes to online.
Okay.
At some point, there's going to be an announcement. We got an email yesterday from someone related to McKinley Health Center saying to prepare to not come back, but nothing specific about not coming back or canceling classes or moving to online.
I'm going to tell you, young men, right now, tighten up the ship in the next week. If you got a B, get an A.
Well, the spring break is next week.
Okay, well... Because you may come back and they may say you don't have school the rest of the year.
What I'm really concerned for is...
So then what do they do? If you've got an F, do you get an F? Or if you got an A, you're good?
If you're telling me that there's no school and nothing but basketball and I have to stay inside, I think I'll be okay.
You'll be fine with that.
I think I'll survive.
You'll be fine with that.
I'm not going to complain. But see, like, what am I going to do Monday through Wednesday?
Oh, well, listen. I don't feel bad for you. Especially if they're just saying, hey, we're going to cancel
school. Just chill out for a while? Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Come on now.
You're good.
You've never been to a Fallon, Illinois, have you?
Well, maybe you can stay on campus. Well, no, they'd tell you to leave, wouldn't they?
Also, think about how boring campus would be without the bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I doubt a place like camp stays open for tournament games if they're trying to reduce crowds of people.
Have they done that?
Not yet.
Have bars shut down? Have restaurants shut down? Have grocery stores shut down? I mean, if I can't go watch an NCAA tournament game, then how can I go over to a grocery store there's a chance that I could get it over here, right? I'm not even trying to be a smart, you know what.
Yeah, no, you could, for sure.
Or let's take, I had this argument today with Kara. Take a flight. So I said, yeah, I'm thinking of flying out to Arizona in April, right? So I said, she's like, you're crazy. Don't do that. And I'm like, don't I have as good a chance? So let's say I'm sitting by my mom and some guy named David from Akron, Ohio. And why don't I have just as good a chance of going to a movie somewhere in Champaign, Urbana, and sitting next, you know, sitting a row behind David from Akron, right, and getting the same thing?
Well, that's why limiting specific people from going to sporting events and not others opens up this can of worms that Derek and I talked about, where it's like, well, if you're barring the media, but you're letting the fans in, well, what are you saying about who's more important in terms of their health?
Right.
Or you're saying, like, what, the fans are less likely to give corona to someone else than the media is? It's like just a giant can of worms.
I guess if certain regions were already exposed more so than this one, then that would open it up for you to, David from New York is in a situation where he's been exposed to it more than David from Savoy sitting behind you.
Yeah. No, I get it. That's true.
And obviously, if you're older, you have a much higher propensity. I think it's 65 and above. You can ask Julie, but I think it's 65 and above where the mortality rate, if you catch this, goes from like 0.02 to like 14%.
14%, yeah. If you're 80 or over.
80 or over, okay.
Yeah, if you're 80 or over. And then if you're like the age of 70 to 80, it's like a 8% chance. But like at your age, even my age at 49, it's a 0.02% chance. That I assume, and this is what I want to ask her, Derek, how old are you?
29.
So 29. If you get this coronavirus, will it feel just like the flu?
That's what people are saying.
But see, she doesn't know. It's the fear of the unknown right now.
Right. Abundance of caution is the buzz phrase.
Correct.
And I suppose it's better to overreact with an abundance of caution than to underreact with no caution.
Right.
Right. And have some horrible situation where an elderly person dies because they went to an NBA game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's sort of like, I'm just thinking of specific teams and how it affects their path.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no,
I truly think if you're a Cinderella team, this negatively affects you to have no crowd, right?
Yeah.
If you're Eastern Tennessee State and you're a 14 seed, I feel like having no crowd is very disadvantageous to you.
I don't know.
I don't either, because I would assume in your case, if they're playing Duke, I still think Duke has more fans. Yeah,
right. No, for sure.
But then again, like you're saying, so Duke doesn't have the fans. So maybe it helps the other team.
Who knows? I honestly don't know.
It is weird. Another thing, somebody said a smoker, but you know, the other thing is also pre-existing conditions.
Right, asthma.
Asthma, anything stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Lindy just said it too. It's not about if it hurts you and I. It's about if it hurts, like, then my mom.
All they're trying to do is just reduce the spread of this.
Well, I mean, if it's this serious, then they just need to shut us all down for like 4 days.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, though.
Stay at home for 4 days.
I don't understand how the NCAA can do this. And then it just seems so hypocritical for any other league,
right?
Whether it's NBA or anything, to go, we're fine.
Yeah, we're good to go.
We just push the tournament back 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah, interesting idea.
They're thinking of pushing the Olympics back a year. Do we know in a year?
Would you rather pick this back up in April?
Right,
that's fine.
I'm all for that.
Give everybody a month off.
I guess they don't know. They couldn't determine safely when the time would be, so they'd say like just suspend it indefinitely. And then, like, what if it bleeds into, like, the draft process for kids? Then it'd be like, are they still playing, you know?
In approximately 15 minutes or so, we're going to be watching Northwestern and
Minnesota.
And we're going to be watching this game with fans in the stands. In fact,
there won't be many
right now. But 22 minutes from now, we're going to be watching a game in the Big Ten tournament with fans in the crowd. Yet the announcement was made about an hour and a half to 2 hours ago that no fans are going to be allowed in NCAA tournament games.
And I'm telling you, it just seems like in the next 24 hours, there's going to be an announcement. Big Ten tournament is going to be affected. It just seems like it.
Well, and can you start a tournament tonight and then cancel it tomorrow?
I mean, yes,
I don't know
unless
if they'll
you
start
bought,
it. They might still play it just without fans.
Just without fans.
Unless you bought all session tickets. I mean, this is the day to cut it off, not after tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow there's four games with look, no offense, actual fan base.
No, I get you.
Not the Northwestern
actual
students.
Teams.
Right.
Actual teams as well, yeah.
Although Indiana plays tonight. That's an actual fan base.
Yeah, I mean, Indy, yeah.
Derek, you're going over as a media guy.
Yeah.
So,
or so he thinks.
Or so you think.
I was. Right.
Alec, I'm going to go ahead and, is she calling in or are we calling her? Okay, go ahead and call, Alec. We're going to visit with Julie Pride, Director of Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. This is crazy. Golden State Warriors have announced no fans at their game.
For at least a month.
For a month. The NCAA tournament has said no fans at any of the games in the NCAA tournament. And again, I mentioned today, I would rather have that than cancel the NCAA tournament. So in that regard, if those are the two options you give me, then I'm happy with the option of not having fans there. But
I like Derek's idea.
It's certainly strange. Let's just push it back.
Let's just run this back April 15th when everything's good.
What if it's worse in a month? I mean, why wouldn't it be worse in a month? We're going to know more about cases. We're going to know more about deaths that are happening with this. So, well, there's somebody that the three of us have just sat here and talked and talked, and there's somebody that knows a lot more about this than we do, and that's Julie Pride, Director of Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Julie, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, you got a lot of explaining to do, Julie. I'm kidding.
Oh.
Well, so the coronavirus continues to spread. And again, I think Trevor told you on the phone today and Diane that we are going to kind of focus more on sports and how it's affecting sporting events,
sure,
et cetera. So the coronavirus continues to spread. Today, the NCAA announces that no fans will be allowed in games, which is unprecedented. And my thought to that, and I'm, you know, I'll be the first to admit I'm underreacting to this thing and maybe shouldn't be, but is that a major overreaction and why not?
Okay. This is very hard, I think, for people who don't, you know about pandemics and things to understand, but let me tell you why they're doing it. So first of all, the death rate of the virus, and it's not the worst virus we've ever seen. But so what we're doing with these measures, which are called non-pharmaceutical interventions, and that's your isolation, your quarantine, your contact tracing, and then closures or limitations like this. The reason why this is happening all over the place like you're seeing is because we are trying to limit the spread of this illness as much as possible to do something called flatten the epidemiologic curve. So we're trying to flatten the epi curve, which means why you do that, you're trying to stretch out your cases so that they don't all bunch up at once and you have like a epidemic right in the middle of a community.
Okay.
Because your healthcare systems will become overwhelmed. So this is really about, so this is a pandemic, meaning that it's worldwide spread. So if we were just having a localized epidemic, even if it was just in the United States, other countries could come to help us, other supplies could come in from places. But in this case, the entire world is in this at the same time. Now, while spread is not happening everywhere equally, it's coming. And
okay,
so these extreme measures that are unprecedented, I have never seen this, I've never read about it, but we've never, you know, this is a different world,
sure,
that we have as well, since, like, let's say the 1918 pandemic. But if we just allow this to burn through the community, not only are there going to be the deaths on the from the case fatality rate or the mortality rate at whatever percentage that is, let's say 2%, not only are we going to have those, but when your healthcare systems are overrun and you saw what was happening in China, then you're going to see people dying of asthma attacks and heart attacks and car accidents and shootings and strokes and things that you normally can go to the hospital and get help with when you need it. So it's really all about not overwhelming healthcare system.
Okay.
Because there's no one coming to the rescue in a pandemic. Everyone's in the same boat. So it's a completely different thing than we've ever been used to. Even though H1N1 was a pandemic,
yep,
we knew that a flu shot was coming. We knew that in a few months or 6 months or whatever we would have a flu shot. There is no coronavirus vaccine and there is no coronavirus treatment for this. So we know that it's going to be at least a year for a vaccination, so we're trying to limit the spread as much as possible, even through drastic means, to get us to that vaccine. Does that help?
10 years I've been doing a radio show, and that's the best answer to any question I've ever asked. And I'm being dead serious, Julie. I wish you would have come on at 5:05, and then we wouldn't have sat here and just wasted breath, you know, ripping the NCAA. And we're not ripping the NCAA. I mean, let's be honest. We're not. Yeah. We understand. I get it. But, you know, Julie, here, and I also get the fact that, you know, I'm going to keep taking St. Louis as an example. They host an NCAA regional. So what you're saying is, if you packed that gym in St. Louis for 4 days or two of the days, then all of a sudden the chances are better that St. Louis as a city is going to become overwhelmed with sickness, and then now all of a sudden St. Louis hospitals and doctors are overwhelmed, where Champaign, Evansville, other places can't come down and help because they got to worry about their own thing.
Well, it's more than that, even, because people are going to be coming in from all over.
Right.
And then when they're back in their airports, or they're back on their trains or their buses or their whatever, they're going back to where they come from, and they're seeding more epidemics. Their infection, if you get in there and you get transmission going and you get infected people, then they're going to go back to wherever they come from.
Yep.
They're going to be infecting vendors and everyone down in St. Louis. So St. Louis will be overwhelmed, but so will everyone else where these are going back. And the problem with this infection, which is we're not seeing in a lot of other types of illness, is there is something called asymptomatic transmission, meaning you can spread this without knowing it. And especially like young, healthy people, like college students and even kids, they will get such a mild illness, they might even know that they have it. So they are even more likely to be something called a super spreader, meaning that they can go out there and infect a lot more people, because they're not, if you're sick enough to be home in bed, you're not out spreading it around.
Great point.
Julie, would the NCAA be better suited to just try to wait this out as far as the tournament, instead of sending teams through airports and trying to get to these destinations? Would it be better to not play games at all than to play them with no fans?
Well, I'm not a good one to ask about that, because I don't like baseball. Or basketball. I don't like all the squeak, 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 squeak. So it doesn't affect me at all, but... So I don't really know. I'm having difficulty imagining what a game would be like without fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's just weird in itself. So I don't know, but I do know that I would hate to be the one, the public health official that recommended for them to cancel that, because it's got to be a ton of money that they're losing.
Oh.
And that, but you have to always prioritize human life over profit. And unfortunately, you know, I think that a lot of countries are behind the eight ball right now because they didn't do that. But if you want to see a beautiful example of how this should be done, look at South Korea, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, because they did this correctly from the beginning. And unfortunately, the rest of the world's playing catch up.
How much risk are the players at and the coaches by having to travel still for this tournament is what I'm trying to get at, I guess.
So the students, they're not necessarily at risk for themselves necessarily, because obviously they're, you know, young, healthy people, and that's not really who this is hurting so much right now. But I don't know about the coaches. I mean, anyone over 60, the CDC has already said start limiting your travel and
wow.
Stay out of crowds, because it is if you have underlying health conditions or you're older, it's just very hard on you. And some of these cases are lasting in the hospital in the ICU for 30 days or more.
Wow.
Which is, you know, really overwhelming health systems.
Sure.
So it's a serious disease for some people, but it's completely asymptomatic to the others. So that's another reason that makes it so crazy. But I don't know what's better to do it now or wait and do it later. But you can't really wait a couple months, because pandemics tend to go a year up to 2 years. So I don't think that the American public has gotten clued into this yet,
yeah.
But this is going to go on for a long time until we get herd immunity, either through vaccination or infection.
I mean, forget sports. This is just a worldwide issue, and the fallout from all of this. I mean, the economics,
yes.
The trickle down. I mean, this is
yes.
going to be incredible. It will probably end up being worse than 9/11. I mean, you know,
yes.
when it comes to the fallout of the financial crisis of this, I can't imagine.
Absolutely.
Julie Pride, Director of Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Last question. Is there any positive? I mean, are we hearing any positive to this? I guess a positive would be, you know, it's not perfect, but if you're 59 and under, there's a pretty good chance that you might get it. You might have flu-like symptoms, but you're going to survive. I mean, I'm just looking for any kind of positive right now as we step forward.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of positives. One positive is that it's 81% of the people who get this right now. The stat says 81% who are infected with this will get better without any medical condition.
Wow.
I mean, medical attention.
Okay.
So that's really good. But we have to make sure that they're not spreading it to other people. The other good thing is the U.S. is now really taking this seriously and starting to put in the aggressive public health measures that are needed to flatten the epi curve. And another good thing is it's not, you know, most diseases really target the young, really young and the really old, and that causes just extra problems.
Sure.
And this seems to only target the older, which makes it easier to try to protect the older. So you're just trying to protect one group, I guess. So there are some positives about it, but I will tell you, every pandemic this big, like 1918, they are literally earth-changing events.
Right.
They will change societies. They will change the trajectory of history. We don't know how, but they always do.
Mm. Julie, I wish we could have you on for an hour. I really do.
Well, I'm going to be doing a live town hall tonight as a city on Facebook and however else they do those things. Well, I don't know.
Where would we go to watch that?
It'll be on the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Facebook page somehow.
Okay.
And then it'll also be on Scott Bennett, Senator Bennett, and Carol Ammons, Representative Ammons.
Okay.
Doing it too, and then it'll be on tape probably on our YouTube.
Okay. I think it's you know, Julie, I joked today. I said, well, I'm going to shut my offices down for 4 days to watch the NCAA tournament, but I'm doing it because of the coronavirus. But then, I mean, I laughed at that. I was making a joke, but then I started thinking, if every human being, if we picked, you know, starting this Thursday through Sunday, if every human being stayed in their own house for 4 days, what would that do? Would that be enough, or would it, you have to stay in your house for a month?
Well, it's at least 14 days because that's the incubation period. But what, you know, if you look at what we're seeing, that's just unprecedented. The entire country of Italy is under quarantine. The entire country of 60 million people.
Incredible.
So when you look at that compared to what we've got over here, you know, shutting down basketball games and canceling schools and going to online schools, I mean, we're lucky we can do these things, and we want to prevent it from getting to something that scary. So my main message to people is just, you know, prepare, stay home when you're sick, wash your hands frequently. It is just a virus that you can wash off of your hands. You can prevent yourself from breathing it in by staying away 6 feet away from people. And you can practice not touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. And good luck with that.
That is so
hard.
I've been
trying to do it for 25 years. Exactly. I just did it while I'm talking to you.
Exactly. I never knew how much I touched my eyes and my face until the last couple of days. Julie Pride, an amazing interview. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can watch on the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District on Facebook tonight, a public, a town meeting, essentially, where you're going to be talking about it. Good luck with that, Julie, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Was an amazing information. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Uh-huh. That is Julie. Oh, she hung up quick.
Busy.
She had quick, like, bam! She is busy, right? And I'm joking about you hanging up, Julie, but if it gets back to you, thank you so much. I mean, that was amazing stuff.
Real quick from Jeff Goodman, national media guy, says NCAA source to him, things are moving quickly right now. It's no fans, but we don't know where this is headed. There have been discussions about canceling or postponing the NCAA tournament, but we're hoping it doesn't get to that point.
Okay. I knew that I had heard that today, that somebody from, I think Trevor said that someone from a major conference had announced that their talks are going on about possibly just canceling the NCAA tournament. And, you know, Julie put it in a good perspective there in the sense that Italy, as a country with 60 million, you can't go anywhere. And we are boohooing about an NCAA tournament. But, again, it's all about what affects you. And it's truly that. And I started the show today saying, this doesn't affect me, but their NCAA tournament's not going to allow fans. I wasn't going. So technically, nothing's changed in my life. I'm still going to watch the games. It'll be weird, albeit, but it doesn't affect me. But eventually, something is going to happen in your life that this absolutely affects. And that's the thing that we've got to watch out for. So, again, thanks to Julie Pride. Great stuff. All right, next hour, we've got Dylan Meyer, former Illini golfer. We'll hear from Brad Underwood. We'll try to get all that in. We'll try to squeeze it on all in. And then we've got to do our Big Ten tournament bracket predictions.
We do.
Because you're going to be gone, we think. So we'll try to get that done. All right, it's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.